And a pleasant good evening to you. Honored that you are with us here for our Sunday night Bible study. We've simply titled it Live at 5 because, well, we're live and we're about 2.5 minutes away from it being 5 o'clock. So glad that you are here with us, involved in our study tonight. My name is Justin Reed. I'm honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain, Cannon County, Woodbury, Tennessee. That's 99 Sally Parton Road. We're about 6 miles off of US 70 there. We're located on the left if you're coming from 70. If you're coming from Smithville, we'll be on the right. But regardless, that's where we are located, and you would be our honored guest at any and all of our worship services, classes, anything that we're having at the building, you would be our honored guest. Tonight, we're going to be talking about crucifying the flesh. We've still got about a minute and a half. We're letting people log in here. I am sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church Christ, live at 5. Let's do that. Backspace, hit the wrong thing. Crucifying the flesh. I-F-Y-I-N-G. I hope you've had a good day. You know, this morning we were online because of the weather, and I know that in about an hour we'll go into another effect of a warning, a freezing warning. I do pray that you are being safe out there, smart, and ultimately that you're being faithful to the Lord. I know that doesn't necessarily go with driving safe in the weather, but that's kind of my goal, is to present lessons that are grounded in God's Word, not to show you how well of a speaker I may or may not be, given the day that it is. But instead, our goal should be being faithful to our Creator. And I hope that the lesson that we have prepared to present tonight will assist you in that goal. I hope that you are praying. Prayer still remains the most valuable lifeline that you and I have to connect with our Father in heaven, and so I'm thankful for that opportunity here as well. I've got right about now, we are clicking over to 5 o'clock, we are live. Glad to have you here with us once again. If you're just now joining us, my name is Justin Reed, and we're going to be talking about crucifying the flesh tonight, and we're going to begin by reading our lesson text here in the 5th chapter of Galatians, verses 19 through 23. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. I've already got my copy of God's Word open, ready to go. I hope that you have yours as well. Let's read this together. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking to one another or envying one another. I want us to talk about crucifying the flesh here tonight. We're going to dissect these verses, but first, before we get into that, just as something I like to dust off on this day every year when I get to present, it is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you. You know, a Valentine is simply a gift that we give someone that we love, is it not? And I want you to notice this, the golden text of the Bible, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see there what lines up in the middle? It's in bold. They're a different color to try to make it easier to see. We got the V in love, the A in that, the L in only, the E in begotten, the N in son, the second T in that, the I in believeth, the N in not, and the E in everlasting. God's Valentine to us is that He sent His Son to die upon the cross because He loves us, because He loves me, and because He loves you. I hope you never forget that, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day. Friends, as we talk about crucifying the flesh in Romans 5, 19 through 21, Paul gives a list of the works of the flesh. He says, they are manifest, which are these. And we know that Paul loves to give lists in his writing. But when he says they're manifest, they're evident, they have shown themselves. And he shows the significance, coupling it up in verse 21. He says, I've told you these things before, and I'm telling you again, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want to go to heaven, don't do these things. So, on the opposite side, verses 22 and 23, Paul also gives us another list called the fruit of the Spirit. That's godly living. That's righteousness. That's being sober. And when he says, against such there is no law, he's saying, really, that's just a sampling of everything that it is. But if you do these things, you'll be in good company, and you'll be on the road to being in good standing. And then finally, what we're going to focus our attention here tonight, verses 24 through 26, Paul gives us certain requirements. He says, number one, we need to put to death the lusts and the affections thereof. We need to mortify them. We need to kill them. Secondly, he says, you need to be influenced by the Spirit. And third, you must not be inconsistent. That's what he says there in verse 26. So grab your copy of God's Word. Let's focus on this last bullet point as we talk about crucifying the flesh. What does it mean for you, and what does it mean for me? So first and foremost, as we are working on crucifying the flesh, we need to put to death the lust thereof. Once again, Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ's, that's possessive, notice that, they have crucified the flesh with the affections or passions and the lust thereof. They that are Christ's. That apostrophe S, as you may recall from your grammar lessons in school, shows a possession. In other words, they belong to Christ. We see in 1 Corinthians 3:23, ye are Christ's. We see that we are the Lord's in Romans 14 and verse 8. Paul calls us God's own possession in Ephesians 1:18, and we also have that passage in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 talk about being the Lord's temple. Our body is the house of the Lord. See, all those show possession. Christ the Lord, we know they're being one and the same with the Holy Spirit as well. But we see that we are Christ's. Paul's writing to Christians. He's not writing to people in the world. He says, since you are a Christian, you need to put to death the lust thereof. So the question becomes, how do we become a possession of Christ? You obey the gospel plan of salvation. You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, go in that water, grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ, and then you crucify the flesh. That doesn't mean physically cut your flesh off, nail it on a cross, and watch it die. No, friends, that means you stop living after the flesh. You stop living to please your physical side. Friends, we must, watch this, we must have crucified the flesh in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit, because Paul has just given us the fruit of the Spirit. We must crucify the flesh. Quickly go with me to the Roman letter, Romans 6, 1 through 12. Honestly, I'm just going to read these verses and comment very little, and personally invite you to come back Wednesday night at 6:30, because we're going to study Romans 6 in its entirety in more depth. Watch this. What shall we say then, Romans 6:1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, yet alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Therefore, summing up what he said, you shouldn't continue in sin that grace may abound. You have been baptized into Christ. You have died to sin, and since you've died to sin, you're now living to God. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Do not obey the lust thereof. What's Paul talking about here? Put to death the lust. He's on the same train of thought, friends. We must crucify the flesh. And to continue that thought, we know that baptism marks the separation between that old life and that new life. Verse 14 of Romans 6, right? Yeah, no, Romans 8 and verse 13, excuse me. Romans 8 and 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds, you shall live. And friends, literally mortify means to put to death. Watch this. It means to kill it off. It does not mean to try to do better. It says you cut the whole thing off where it can no longer affect you. It would be like a growth on you. You would just cut it off and no longer let it affect your body. Friends, we are to continue to die to sin. Go with me there to Galatians 2. We'll start with that reference. The second chapter of Galatians. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said, for I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, Paul says, when you see Paul, it's not Paul living, it's God living in me. Paul says, I quit living for Paul years ago when I was crucified with Christ. Let's see how he puts it to those in Colossae, in Colossians 2 and verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why? As though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Keep that thought going, verse 22, after the commandments and doctrines of men. He says, if you put to death, if you are dead to the rudiments, to the elements of the world, then why in the world are you still letting them affect you? In essence, is the question Paul asks. Let's see what he says to the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. He says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He says, if we live after the world, then we'll be dead. But we need to live after the Spirit. And then finally on this point, before we move on, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, we mentioned this morning, but the Bible says, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins on his body, on the tree, the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Friends, we should continue to die to sin because we're mimicking the life of Jesus. I'm just going to go ahead and put these up here. Friends, dying to sin means I've got to be willing to deny self. I've got to be willing to deny all my selfish ambitions. Matthew 16:24, let a man take up his cross daily. He's got to first, though, deny himself. Go with me there to Luke 5, that last passage on that point. Luke 5, 10 and 11, when he's calling his disciples, we need to be like Peter, James, John, Andrew, Matthew, and the like, and literally leave what we're doing and follow Christ. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. They literally left the boat there. James and John left their father Zebedee mending the nets. Matthew left the money on the table. Friends, that's what we must do. And let's seriously consider, before we move on, Luke 14 and the 33rd verse. Luke 14 and 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he has," Jesus Christ says, "he cannot be my disciple." Friends, we must crucify the flesh if we want to produce the fruit of the Spirit. This is a daily thing. I want you to notice very quickly here before we move on to our second verse. Passion or affections in the King James, that's how you pronounce it in English. But here's what the word means. Uncontrolled evil desires. It's an inward state that leads to sin, and it's often referred to as a passive term. But notice this, lusts, those are evil desires that are ready to express themselves in action. It is an active term. See, when Paul says avoid, when Paul says crucify these affections and lusts, these passions and lusts, friends, Paul's saying the passive ones and the active ones, the ones on the inside of our body, the inward lust, the inward passions, and the outward ones as well. In order to crucify the flesh, friends, number one, we need to put to death the lust thereof. Number two, from Galatians 5 and 25, the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In other words, friends, secondly, we need to be influenced by the Spirit. In other words, we need to walk according to the direction of the Spirit. Now, when we read of walking in the Bible in this sense, he's not talking about taking your left foot, planting it firmly on the ground, picking up your right foot, placing it in front of your left foot, putting it firmly on the ground, and repeating this process. That's not what he's talking about. Instead, though, walk denotes the lifestyle of the Christian. Notice what God's Word says in Ephesians 3:3-4. In fact, we see in the book of Ephesians, which is a great lesson for another time, seven different walks that Paul talks about. But here, Ephesians 3, he's revealed this in his Bible, how that by revelation was known unto me the mystery, something previously not known, as I wrote in a few words, whereby, watch this, when you read, you may understand the knowledge, my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. God has revealed the way we are to walk. We know Romans 10:17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, friends, Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, we need to study God's Word so we can know the mystery, so we can know the walk, because it's no longer a mystery. It has been revealed. The complete revelation has been revealed, friends. We must be influenced. Paul says, if you walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. But friends, we must live up to what we claim. We cannot be hypocritical. What's a hypocritical? Or what's a hypocrite, rather? Hypocrite in Greek is also where we get the term actor today. That's one who plays a face. You think about a person on a television show. They could play a murderer, a bank robber, somebody awful. They get out of their character. They quit acting that way. And then they go help and volunteer at St. Jude. See, that's a polar opposite. The idea of a hypocrite is one who says something and does something else. Let's notice here. I'm just going to put all these up there. Matthew 23 for just a second. That should say 38 instead of 27, 28. I am correct. Matthew 23:27. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and you're full of iniquity." Jesus Christ there is saying, those of you who are trying to be a hypocrite, or you may not be trying, but you are, you look like a sepulcher. You look like a grave. It may be pretty on the outside, but inside you're rotten. Titus 1:16, they that profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work they're reprobate. Or, in other words, they're void of judgment. Friends, we should not be that way. Instead, be like what Jesus Christ describes there in Matthew 5:16, where he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's not showing people, say, look at me, look how good I am. But friends, instead, that's living the life of a Christian, and others will see you're working for God. Let's see how James puts it in James 2:17 and 18, talking about an active living faith versus a dead faith. Even so, faith, James says, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, you have faith, I have works. Let me show you my faith without my work, or you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James says you can't do that. You've got to have faith and works. It's like you're out in the middle of a lake on a boat, and in one hand, one oar is faith, one hand, one oar is works. If you want to move forward, you got to have both. If you have one, you'll go this way or you'll go that way, but to move forward, you've got to have both. And our final passage, when we talk about being influenced by the Spirit, is 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Where here Peter says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Friends, Peter's telling us you need to walk the walk and talk the talk. You don't need to be a hypocrite. You need to live up to what you're claiming. If you're claiming to be a Christian, then act like it. That way, when they'll try to speak evil of you, really, they're speaking good of you. Because although they see it as evil, if you're living the life of a Christian, they're really praising you for doing what God has commanded. As we are crucifying the flesh, friends, we need to be influenced by the Spirit. But our final point comes from our final verse of our lesson text in Galatians 5:26, where Paul says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. In other words, if we want to crucify the flesh, friends, we need to be not inconsistent, or not be inconsistent, which goes hand in hand with other points, does it not? Notice this, though. When we produce the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul has just said, we will not be vainglorious. Yet here he says, let us not be desire of vain glory. In other words, that means don't boast. Don't be a boaster. Galatians 6:3, if a man think himself to be something when he is not, he deceives himself. Friends, we don't want to deceive anyone, especially our own selves. We should know ourselves the best. James 4:16, James says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. He says, all such rejoicing is evil. Now, James is not saying you can't be pleased with your accomplishments, but when you start boasting about it, being consumed wholly with that, he says, therein lies your problem, and you need to correct that soon. And then Philippians 2:1-3, Paul says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done, watch this, through strife or vain glory. However, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem themselves better than themselves. Let each other esteem better than themselves. Friends, when we're producing the fruit of the Spirit, we will not be vainglorious. But we also see when we produce the fruit of the Spirit, we won't be provoking one another. That's what Paul says to do. That means irritate. Now, we can irritate people, get on their nerves, not mean to. That's not what we're saying. It's almost the idea of you have a stick and you keep prodding an animal. You know, eventually you keep poking them long enough, they're going to lash out against you. We don't need to be that way. Look at Galatians 5:15, where Paul says, "If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Take heed. If you're biting and devouring, if you're trying to sow discord and strife instead of love, take heed. It'll come back to bite you sooner or later. And 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ." He says, "I fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Now you're not able, for ye are carnal. Whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" He says, quit provoking one another. Quit irritating one another. Quit prodding. Quit stirring the pot, as the case may be. Paul says, you need the meat of the word, but you're still babes because you can't get over this. Friends, if we're working on crucifying the flesh, if we're producing the fruit of the Spirit, we won't be provoking one another. And you may have figured out this last point now. When we produce the fruit of the Spirit, we will not be envying one another. We will not be envying one another. Envy's forbidden in Scripture. It's not that it's not there. It's God doesn't like it. We should not envy. That's a sin. We have been commanded not to do that. Solomon says in Proverbs 14 and verse 30 that a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Watch this. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. Well, I don't want my bones to be rotten. Therefore, I should not envy. Let's see how Paul puts it in Romans 13 and verse 13. Romans 13 and verse 13, where here Paul states, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chamberings, not in wantonness, not in strife, and not in envy." Friends, Paul says we need to walk honest. We don't need to be walking after envy. We don't need to be envying one another. We mentioned it in our lesson this morning on love, but we'll mention it again here. I mean, it is Valentine's Day after all. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, verse 4 says that charity or love envieth not. Love envieth not. So if we truly want love, then we will not envy. And if we crucify the flesh, friends, we won't be inconsistent. We won't be vainglorious because we're working on the fruit of the Spirit. We won't be provoking one another, and we won't be envying one another. Friends, as we see Paul's closing out the 5th chapter of Galatians, he talks about crucifying the flesh. A simple question, do you belong to Christ? He says, ye then that are Christ's, possessive, do you belong to Christ? Have you submitted to Him in baptism? Have you been crucified with Christ? Can you say like Paul in Galatians 2:20 or sing the song that we do in VBS, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can you say that and it be true? Have you crucified the flesh with the lust, the passions, the affections thereof? Have you quit living a worldly life and instead decided to live a spiritual life where your end goal at the end of the day is to do whatever thus saith the Lord and to be found pleasing to Him? Friends, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you letting God's Word guide you? Not trying to change God's Word, not trying to make God's Word go this way or that way, but letting it guide you. Friends, these are a must if we want to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus Christ said, by their fruits you will know them. If we want to be a good Christian, we will have the fruit of the Spirit. If we don't want to be a good Christian, we can work on the works of the flesh, keeping in mind that those which do such things, Galatians 5:21, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to crucify the flesh now more than ever. If you would like a copy of these notes, if they would help you in your further study of God's Word, they're on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. You can Google my name, Justin, R-E-E-D, Bible. They're found in the sermon section, alphabetical. This one's Crucifying the Flesh, so find that C, and it's right there. Quickly, if I may, invite you to some upcoming studies we've got planned. Lord willing, Wednesday night, 6:30, live here on Facebook. We will continue looking. We're in Romans. And as I mentioned in our lesson, we will do an in-depth look at Romans chapter 6, where Paul is transitioning into sanctification and some wonderful things. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, so I hope you can be here. They'll be live 6:30 on Wednesday night. Now, also Thursday night, 6:30, will be in Matthew 26. In fact, we're going to be beginning that chapter, so it's, what better time to join our Thursday night Bible study? My father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and I, we would love to have you in attendance. That will be live as well here on Facebook. And I'll go ahead and invite you, Lord willing, less than 168 hours from now, which will be Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We will be live in the building, Lord willing. Brother Billy Henson will be our speaker, it being the third Sunday of the month. We always look forward to him coming out and Sister Patsy and their fellowship, and always love hearing Brother Billy present God's Word. So that's on our horizon. I encourage you to take an opportunity, make the best of these opportunities, I should say, and not only these, but there are many other great opportunities online to study God's Word, so I hope that you are making the best of all that. In fact, you could just about study faithful videos that are being produced weekly, all week long, and I think that would be a good recommendation there. Would you please share this video so that others may study about crucifying the flesh? If you've enjoyed this video, pray that others will as well. If you've not enjoyed this video, maybe you know somebody that will. I do ask you kindly to share that. That way we can reach the gospel with more people. I do appreciate your time here. I do hope that you will stay warm, stay safe this week. And we'll end this video the same way we've ended every lesson in our series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.